Thanks, Faye. Well, Leanne, I planted some beetroots and carrots and none of them come up either. But I did have a couple of pumpkin vines come up on their own and I got 80 off them, so the neighbours got heaps. We got the most beautiful neighbours you could ever ask for. They come over with buckets of custard apples and oranges and mandarins and bananas. In fact, when I bought the place, I said to the fellow I was buying off, why haven't you got any fruit trees in that here? And he said, why bother? He said, the neighbours bring them all over. So, yeah, we've got beautiful neighbours. Just a couple of things. I'd like to thank all those that came to our working bee on Sunday. I meant to bring with me when the next working bee was going to be, but I forgot, so I'm sorry about that. We'll give you plenty of warning next time. And for those that come to prayer meeting on Tuesday, we've decided not to cancel prayer meeting just for this 1 week. So can you hear me, Frank? Yeah, just for this 1 week. Thank you very much. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come together in worship. Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will be present. Please speak through me and that the message I have today will draw us all closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a click is not working today, so I have to get Alex to say next, so I'm sorry about that. Our scripture today is known as the parable of the sower. Life experiences make us all familiar with this story. It's recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. In the parable, Jesus tells about four categories of soil or ground. There's the seed that fell on the wayside. There's the seed that fell on stony ground, the seed that fell among thorns, and the seed that fell on good ground. Now, I'd like to focus on the seed that fell among the thorns. Let us look at a portion of all these parables from all three references, Alex. It is important to see what each of them have to say because even though they communicate the same picture of life, it is important to see what they have to say because they all highlight different ways of playing out the parable. So Matthew 13:7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And Mark 4:7, and some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And Luke 8:7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. Now, what's the meaning of all this? Fortunately, we're not left to wonder about the message of the parable. Jesus' disciples asked him plainly about the meaning, and he goes on to explain it later on. Next, Alex. Matthew 13:22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And Mark 4:18-19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Next. Luke 8:14. None of the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So what are these verses saying to us? Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God and is in the soil of our hearts. These are all the right ingredients for plant growth. The seed sprouted and the roots took hold fast in the soil and started to grow. The one thing that got in the way of bearing fruit were the thorns, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. Did you catch that? the thorns grow in good soil. Now, Jesus used parables to communicate lessons to people for several reasons. Now, one of the main reasons was that those who were listening had something solidly easy to understand and to relate to. Jesus talks about sowing and planting. So if you're a farmer or a gardener, you would understand. Now, I know not all of us in today's world are familiar with the process of planting and harvesting. Even I have to do a Google search to teach myself how to grow and care for certain plants and trees. The key ingredient for seed growth are air, water, sunlight, nutrients in the soil, temperature and space. Now, if any one of these ingredients are missing, the plant does not produce as much as it would under ideal conditions. So what if the soil in your heart is not in good ground and you find yourself among the thorns or weeds? Is there hope that God's word will bear fruit in your life? What is the key for this to happen? The key to the heart becoming good ground is to remove the thorns. Today we'd probably just call them weeds. Weeds and thorns are annoying and pesty. Both of these terms are much the same as each other, annoying and pesty. Weeds have a lot of seeds and they grow extremely fast, in my opinion, and survive for a rotten long time, and they adapt well and spread easy and fast. They can also be prickly, thorny, sappy, and some even poisonous. Weeds can get big quickly and use up nutrients that other plants could use. When they get big, they shade the other plants, so the other plants, better plants, do not get as much sunlight. So to cap it off, weeds are annoying and pesty. It's pretty easy to tell which are weeds, since the Bible mentions types of weeds, such as the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches and pleasures. But weeds can take on any form. Basically, a weed is anything that takes over your life, sucks the happiness out of you, and does not allow God's word to become fruitful in your life. Just like certain plants can be good and healthy for you in the right way, they may be so-called good things in your life, but it's keeping you busy from letting the word of God grow in your heart. If you crowd your heart out with too many good things or plant them too close together, they will not have room to spread their roots and become fruitful. They're pushing for the same air, sunlight, nutrients, temperature and space. And when this happens, none of them become fruitful. So, how to pull these annoying, pesty weeds out of our life? The best way is to remove a weed is to get the whole root, since stubborn weeds can grow back from a tiny bit of root remaining. Obviously, this is going to be much easier when the plant is young and the root is not deep. The problem gets much bigger when you leave the weed in the ground, so you need to pull out weeds often. Not only does the root get bigger and deeper in the ground, but the plant itself produces a lot of seeds very quickly. And if you wait long enough for the weeds to go to seed, you've just multiplied your problem and made your problem bigger. And very soon you'll be going crazy and have to work harder pulling the number of weeds that you have to deal with. So we must be willing to get rid of the whole weed out of our lives. We cannot let weeds remain as desires in our hearts. Just like stubborn weeds can grow back from a tiny bit of root, if we allow the cares, the worries or riches or pleasures to remain in our hearts, they will come back at some point. Next. Matthew 6:31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Next. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next. In 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Next. In 1 Timothy 6:6-12, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, this does not say that it's a sin to be rich. No, the key to the text is love. The love of riches and money. In fact, it counsels those who are rich not to trust in riches, but to trust in God, to be rich in good works and be ready to give and willing to share. Well, why are weeds so bad, you may ask? Some of you might be thinking, what's wrong with a couple of weeds in my life? I go to church, I give my offerings, I try to do the right thing, I believe the Bible is God's word, I love my family and I would do anything for them. What's at stake if I do not get rid of the thorns? Because it's Satan's plan. Satan wants nothing more than to see us destroyed. He is very smart and he will use any method to win us. He studies us, we're his enemies, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows that some people are drawn to entertainment, the desires of riches and material possessions. He knows there's others who are not drawn and seduced by these things, but all he must do is keep them busy with the cares of life, and they will not have time for God. Satan loves it when he sees weeds in our hearts. He wants to take down as many of us as he can before his time runs out. Next. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Next. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deceptions among those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The Bible warns us about a strong delusion that is coming, and Ellen White wrote about this in Great Controversy in page 334, and I quote, "Only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusions that take the world captive. By the Bible testimony, these will detect the deceiver in his disguise. To all, the testing time will come. By the sifting of temptation, the genuine Christian will be revealed. Are the people of God now so firmly established upon his word that they would not yield to the evidence of their senses? Would they, in such a crisis, cling to the Bible and the Bible only? Satan will, if possible, prevent them from obtaining a preparation to stand in that day. He will so arrange affairs as to hedge up their ways, entangle them with earthly treasures, cause them to carry a heavy, wearisome burden, that their hearts may be overcharged with the cares of this life, and the day of trial, may come upon them as a thief." We need help pulling weeds out of our lives. Is this something we can conquer on our own? For some weeds, it's just sprouted up. We may have the strength to pull them out on their own. But those that have been around for a long time, the deep root in your life by hanging on to, we cannot do it alone. We must recognise our weakness and turn to the Lord for the strength only he can give. I'd like to share some verses with you if you're struggling with a stubborn weed in your life. Next. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Isaiah 40 verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Next. Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." In Psalms 121:2. "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And next. Psalm 73:25-26. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Next. And Psalms 51:10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And Psalms 37:4. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." So I must admit, the reason I chose today's topic is that every time I hear this parable, I can relate most to the seed that fell among the thorns. I've always wanted my heart to be in a good ground, but I know deep down that I have too many thorns in my life that are keeping me from bearing fruit. Probably my biggest part that I struggle with is the cares of the world. One of my biggest downfalls is that I'm addicted by my daily planner, and I'm a perfectionist and I need to go and get things done. Every morning Murray rings up, "What are you going to be doing today?" I work so hard planning out my day around the many things I need to do and still have time for God and my family. I'm always fooled into thinking if I finish this and that, I'll finally have time to relax and spend time with my family. But is that even possible? Sickness, car trouble, house and yard to maintain, church responsibilities, mowing the lawn, blowing leaves, shoveling, weeding, hedging, gardening. Notice I had weeding in there. And the list goes on and on. Will it ever end? Will we ever be finished with these lists? Has anyone ever finished their list? Have you reached a point in your life when you said, I'm finally done? The truth is, the list will always be there. Saying that, there's some things that must be addressed and definitely need to be taken care of without fail. But do not fool yourself into thinking that if you can finish your list, you'll be finally be able to relax and have peace. We'll only find relief in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of your life, do you want to be able to say that you finished your treasured, never-ending list? Or did you spend time growing your relationship with God and your family, the real important love list of your life? I'm very sick and tired of being choked out by weeds and thorns. My priorities should be flipped the other way. I need to plan my day around God and my family, and hopefully I still have time to do the things that I need to do. Now, when you hear the parable of the sower, you may place yourself differently as the seed among the thorns. However, I hope that if it's not already in good ground in your heart, I do pray that you will leave today with the desire to remove anything that's getting in the way of becoming fruitful. Remember, God is the one that gives us the strength. How do we balance the good things in our life? Why is it so hard to let go of being in control? Unexpected problems happen. We need to be ready and prepared to handle them. We must rest our hopes in our Lord Jesus rather than our self-made lists and plans. Next. James 4:13-15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this and that. Next. In Proverbs 19:21, a person may have many plans in their heart, but the Lord's purpose wins out in the end. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing, faith is the victory. And I pray that if there's anyone that's having problems with a seed in their weed in their life, that they will look to you for victory. Lord, help us to dig deep into your word and help us not to be deceived. Please watch over each and every one of us until we meet again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.